That anointing is talking about the Holy Spirit, and it says you don't need teachers. It doesn't mean that we don't have Sunday school teachers or pastors or stuff. It's saying the believer who has the Holy Spirit has within him the ability to learn the things of God, because the Holy Spirit is the one who brings those truths to the life and heart of the believer. All right, these are not food pantry items. What these are options, and these options actually, I moved the hot plate over because first service I was too close to the the fire thing there, so I was like, I don't think you all want to get sprinkled, because we believe in dunking people, right? So we're not gonna baptize you and sprinkle all of you. What I want to show you is that we have options up here. We have oatmeal. We have, but look, did you, I know you can't read it from there, but do you know what kind of oats these are? No, they're not. They're not instant. No, these are old-fashioned oats. What in the world? What does old-fashioned oats mean? Are these oats like 10 years old or 20 years old, and that's what makes them old-fashioned? What makes them old-fashioned? Huh? You what? You have to cook them. Imagine that. Not only that, but you actually have to cook them for, like, I don't know, what is it? Five? Huh? No, not 1 minute. That's a 1 minute oats. What's the matter with you? You have to cook these for 5 to 10 minutes, because these are the old-fashioned oats. What's the old-fashioned part? You have to wait for them. Okay? You know what? We don't like to wait for them. And when we go to the store, we don't look for the old-fashioned oats. What do we look for? Well, you look for the 1 minute ones, right? Or we look for the little packets. Ever read those little packets, all the sugars they put in them, the maple flavorings and all that? Oh, my goodness. All the benefit that you get from the oats, it's gone because they put all that stuff in there. Or instead of doing old-fashioned oats, we can do Captain Crunch. Yeah. This is Captain Crunch. I can tell you this will not last a week in our house. And it won't be me, and it won't be Suzanne. So, and it won't be Dash. I remember as a kid, I was fascinated by different breakfast cereals. I grew up in Colombia, South America. We had choices. We had sugar corn pops, and we had corn flakes. That was it. At that time, that was all that we had down there. Corn flakes was cool, though, because they put the Olympic little figures inside the corn flake boxes. But when I had come to the United States, it was like all these choices. And I remember watching commercials, and the commercials would tell you what the prize was inside. And I remember going to my parents and saying, remember Frankenberry and Boo Berry and what was the other one? Count Chocula. And I would go to my parents and I would say, I want to try Boo Berry. It had nothing to do with the nutritional value. It was because what? Whatever, and my parents would be, listen, if we buy that cereal, you are going to eat the whole box. Oh, I promise. You'd buy it, and it was horrible. Did what inside add any nutritional value? Have you ever read the nutritional value on some of these sugar cereals versus old-fashioned oatmeal? Here I have your Sunday lunch. TV dinners. I remember TV dinners were so cool. We would, in 1973, we would get out the TV trays. You know why they have you eating them while you're watching TV? So you don't notice what you're eating. We would get the Salisbury steak. Good thing there's lots of gravy. You can't see what you're eating. We'd get the little raspberry dessert. But sometimes the desserts didn't cook at the same time as the rest of the meal. Do you remember that? And you get this like little pool of red inside this glop. You'd be like, oh, man. Or you can have this. Pot roast we put on last night, let it cook through the night. Green beans from my wife's garden. You know, which one are you going to choose? Or I give you one more choice. And you're saying, what does this have to do with the Bible? Don't worry. There is a point to this. You can have instant coffee. My mother-in-law told me that when this first came out, it was the rage. You actually showed where you were in society if you served instant coffee. There are some people that actually like this, and I'm not pointing any fun at them, but have you tried instant coffee lately? Oh, it's, or we just went camping. One of the things I love about camping is the old time. Fresh water. By the way, some of you don't even know how much. Do you know how much coffee you add to a real coffee maker for each cup? Some of you don't know. You have no idea because you use a Keurig or you stop at 7-Eleven. You have no idea how to make coffee. Don't ever go to somebody's house that tells you that they don't know how to make coffee. Don't drink their coffee. Make it for them. Do you know how long to perk this once it starts perking? Till it smells good? No, it smells good right away. Nope. You let it perk for about 5 minutes. Then you turn it off, and you let it sit for about 3. Did I bring you here for a culinary class? No. I'm worried because there are a lot of Christians that when it comes to their spiritual nutrition and their spiritual lives, they're over here. You see, over here, we let somebody else do the work for us. We let somebody else read the scriptures. We let somebody else study them. And then from their point of view, we just accept what they tell us. Sometimes we're more interested in whether it interests us than whether it's good for us. I remember as a kid, instant potatoes were like another one of the rages, and they would say, the astronauts eat these foods. And we'd be like, yeah, I want to eat what the astronauts eat. Now it's like when you go to the restaurant, you want to make sure there are chunks of potatoes in there, right? You don't want any of that instant stuff. You see, over here, you actually have to know how to cook. You actually have to maybe get out different ingredients. You need to read a recipe. And this is what the input that we should be having from the scriptures are about. I'm not just relying. You see, some of you are only relying on Dr. Stanley or me or God forbid, what's his name? Oh, you already know, okay. To tell you what to believe or what to think. But you haven't gotten the recipes out yourself, and you don't know whether they're feeding you the right things or not because you haven't gotten involved in the ingredients. Over here, listen to this. You want to eat this? No. This is what I want to eat. This is what I'm going to eat. Not this one. It's been sitting out way too long. There are many people that the most scripture they read is what Vinny and Omar read to us this morning. That ain't going to cut it. It's not going to cut it. Over here, I wasn't wanting those cereals because they were going to help me. I was wanting them because it had a gimmick to it. What's going to happen when churches no longer have gimmicks and when it costs to be a Christian? It's not going to be what coffee you serve in your sanctuary or your vestibule. It's going to be whether you name the name of Jesus Christ and are ready to stand beside that name. I did this, and I'm actually going to perk it, because I want to use this as the illustration. This is how the Word of God should be in your life. You read something, you mull it over, and then you let it perk on your mind, on your conscience. You pray for the Holy Spirit throughout the week to let it keep bubbling up through your life. You follow me? Any of you know how this actually works? I love this coffee. You know, this is great coffee because it you grind the beans and then it bubbles up through and it gets all the coffee, and then you turn it off and you let the grounds sit. Because why? It's percolating. The Word of God needs to be percolating in the soul of the believer. The Holy Spirit needs to keep bringing it back and back up and let it boil into your mind and into your actions. As we sit there, and I'm going to drive you crazy because I'm going to let it perk, and it's almost going to fill this room. You people sitting by that, you probably won't smell it, but the rest of the people up here, they're going to be like, man, I want some of that coffee. Turn to John chapter 16. As I started studying John 16, you're not going to need your sermon notes because they're not the sermon I'm preaching. As I started studying John 16 once again, you know, in John 14 and John 16, we have many of the scriptural truths that come to us about the Holy Spirit, and sometimes we take those passages out and we just talk about what's in them. The Bible should always be read in context. The Bible should always, each passage should be looked at by what the other verses around it are saying. And so when we come to John chapter 16, I want to remind you what the context of what Jesus is telling them, because it is so important then why he says that the Holy Spirit is so important in their lives and important in our lives in this time right now. So, by the way, they didn't have chapters, and remember, Jesus is giving this instructions to his disciples. It's one long discourse. It's one long talk that he's giving them. So the parts that we read were just part of the conversation. I want you to go back to John chapter 15, verse 18. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would have loved you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. The context of what Jesus is about to tell them about the Holy Spirit is this. You're not going to be liked here. Why do we get so upset when sometimes the world turns to us and says, you people are just wrong, you're bigots, and we don't like you? Why do we get so upset? Jesus said, I want to summarize this because I don't want to spend too much time on it. In John 15, 18 through 25, he says, you are not like them, so they're not going to like you. Secondly, he says, you are my servants, I am your master. They didn't like the master, they're not going to like the servants. The better servant you are, And the more we serve our master, the less we're going to be liked by the world. Thirdly, he says, you are to teach them my word, and they are disobedient to my word. So you're the one who's telling them that they're disobeying God. Nobody likes to be told that they're doing the wrong thing. Nobody likes to be told that God has standards and that those standards are from the Word of God, from the Scriptures. They do not change. Fourthly, he says, they don't know me and they don't know my Father, so why would it be that they're going to be familiar with you? Fifthly, my life and my words have brought out their guilt. You know, sometimes we get disturbed and we're like, I don't understand this. I'm a likable person. Are you a likable person? Maybe you're not. Maybe you're one of those grouchy ones. But I'm like, hey, everybody likes me. I'm a likable person. And then I have people, because of what I believe about the Bible or because of different things that they believe, they don't like me. And Jesus says, they have hated me without a cause. Could that be true of his church as well? So that's the context. The context is they don't want to hear it. They're tired of us. And this is coming, Jesus says. And by the way, I'm leaving as well. Whoa! Jesus, you're leaving, and you're leaving us in a situation where we're actually not going to be liked and not going to be welcomed. So what do we have to look forward to? John chapter 16. Turn there. Jesus says this. All this I have told you so that you will not go astray. There will be some people that in the coming days walk away. They walk away because they don't want to put up with that kind of attitude. They walk away because they look at the things of the Bible. They see them as too black and white. And he says, listen, I'm telling you these things so that you will not go astray. There is the danger, and I want you to be warned. Secondly, he says, they will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, a time is coming when anyone who kills you will think that he is offering a service to God. Are there people in this world that are killing Christians and actually think that they're doing the right thing? Did not God say that that would actually happen? It is. Hopefully this is your mind and this is the Scriptures just continually stirring it up. Staying away from the fire alarm. He says to them, he goes on, he says this. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. And I have told you this so that when the time comes, you will remember that I have warned you. And I did not tell you this at first because I was with you. Jesus says, listen, this is a discussion that I need to have with you. I'm leaving. And these things, by the way, the disciples almost immediately in the book of Acts, they find opposition. They see a tremendous number of people get saved. Peter gets up, he preaches the sermon that the Holy Spirit gives him, and thousands of people get saved, and suddenly a bunch of people rise up and say, we can't have this. And one of the people to rise up is Saul of Tarsus, and they start killing Christians, thinking that they are doing it and pleasing God. But he goes on, and this is where it gets, where I began to say, why does God put it in the Word of God this way? Notice what he says next. Now I am going to him who sent me, yet none of you ask you, where are you going? Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth, it is good for you that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But I go, speaking of the Holy Spirit, the counselor, I go and I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. you know, I began to look at the passage again and said, you know, this is a passage where Jesus is talking with his disciples. The interaction he's had with them, he's leaving, he's going to send the Holy Spirit, the interaction they're to have with the Holy Spirit. And suddenly, right in the middle of this, he says, by the way, it's the Holy Spirit who is going to convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Why does he do that? I thought this was a conversation of, you know, between you and me and between the Holy Spirit and you. And suddenly, right in the middle, he says, and by the way, it's the Holy Spirit who will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Why? What's the importance? In fact, he puts it ahead of the part where he tells them that it is the Spirit who will lead them into all truth. Why does he do that? Come on. Why? Why? It's not us who's going to change their minds. Okay, I want you to look back with me at chapter 15, verse 26 through and 27. When the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, comes, whom I will send from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And also, and you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. What does he say that we and the Holy Spirit are? We are partners. His witness goes out because he lives in me, and the witness that I give is not my own witness. It's actually the Holy Spirit living within me, living out the truth in a world who has rejected the truth. It says when you are put on trial, don't even think about what needs to be said, because why? The Holy Spirit will tell you, will give you what to say in that moment. You see, Jesus is sending them to be witnesses, and he's telling them they don't want to hear it, they don't want to see it, they don't want you at all. But don't worry, I am the witness. The Holy Spirit living in you is the witness. Open your mouth and he will speak the words of truth through you. Peter gets up full of the Holy Spirit and preaches a sermon, and thousands of people get saved. Why? Because Peter, who couldn't put it together, suddenly took a Dale Carnegie how to win and influence people? No, because the power of the Holy Spirit now was directing his words. I am not going to be the one. It is not me who is going to convict them. I don't have to be out there sounding nasty and angry, and it's going to be my persona that brings them to conviction. It is my prayer that God will break their hearts with the truth. I like what Bill Faye said. He says, you can't fail. If you live and preach the truth, you can't fail, because it's the Holy Spirit's job to do the convicting and the saving. It is our job to be witnesses. Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, you will be witnesses. Ah. Can you smell that? You know what that smells like? Yeah, of course it smells like coffee. It smells like something that has sat there and percolated. Does the Word of God percolate in your heart and mind? Does it just bubble up? Do people smell the fragrance of Jesus Christ coming from you? Let's go on. In verse 12, he says this, I have much more to say to you, more than you can bear, than you can now bear. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. What was going to make the difference between them being able to get what Jesus was saying and understand it? The Holy Spirit. He says, I've got some things to say to you, but right now I can't say them, because if I said them, you wouldn't get them anyway. But when the Holy Spirit comes, he will guide you into how much truth? All truth. All truth. Not only that, it goes on and he says this, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is to highlight and glorify Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit himself is God and should be worshiped. But he is not, he doesn't want to be the centerpiece. His job is to be the spotlight that spotlights Jesus. He says he will take the things of me and he will make them known to you. Not only that, he says this, and he will tell you what is yet to come. Do you wonder about your future? Do you wonder about the future of this country? Do you wonder about the future of the church? Do you lay awake at night and wonder or worry? You don't need to. The Holy Spirit guides us. He gives us the wisdom to know how to handle what's coming. He gives you the wisdom, if you turn to him and you turn to his word, to know how to handle what's coming in your marriage, to know how to handle what's coming in your job. What are you going to do, Christian, when you're asked to sign some kind of loyalty statement that you agree with the things that your school or your boss is requiring you to sign some kind of statement? Are you going to sign that statement, or are you going to say, I trust God, and I'll be a Daniel? You going to do that? It may come to that. I can really see it as a great possibility. Should that worry us? It says the Holy Spirit will teach us and show us what is to come. Who are you going to rely on? You going to come in and grab some instant coffee, or are you going to allow the Word of God to continue perking up in your life so that when you face those moments, it's not a surprise. It's something that God has already been working in your heart and life. Daniel didn't make those decisions on the spot. Daniel had already determined in his heart that he would not, what? Violate his conscience. Let's go on. He will bring glory to me by taking what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take what is mine and make it known to you. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. If you are not seeking the ministry of the Holy Spirit in your life, if you're not praying to the Holy Spirit and saying, as I read this Bible, I want you to open my eyes, I want you to open my heart, I want you to make me obedient. If you're not doing that, you're spiritually eating Captain Crunch. You're using Hungry Man's. Listen, I'm telling you, you use a month of, I have a delicate stomach. If I ate these for a week, I'd end up in the hospital. I just know it. You know, for lunch and supper. Can't imagine eating them for breakfast. I can imagine. Whoa! If you are not seeking the Holy Spirit as you read the Scriptures, if you are not reading the Bible, you are malnourished spiritually. You're eating Captain Crunch for breakfast and Hungry Man for lunch and supper. If the only scripture you get is right here on Sunday, you're malnourished. Why do I say that? Do I say that because I don't want you coming? Oh, no, I do want you coming. It's because the Holy Spirit lives in the heart of the believer so that the believer themselves knows how to cook, how to be nourished from the Word of God. How to get the ingredients out and mix up a nutritious spiritual meal. The Holy Spirit doing the work in you to take the Word of God and say, oh, that's how that applies to my marriage. I haven't been doing the right things. Or, oh, that's how I'm supposed to forgive that person. I haven't forgiven them and I need to change that. Get out the ingredients. The Holy Spirit is the one who will teach you how to bring that recipe together and to nourish your soul. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he says some incredible things. First of all, the context for 1 Corinthians chapter 2 is chapter 1, because remember, they didn't have chapters anyway. Chapter 1 was how the world thinks that what we're saying is foolish. because we preach the cross. Does the world want to hear about the cross today? No, the world doesn't want to hear about the cross, and they don't want us to pray in the name of Jesus. If I go to pray somewhere, Jesus comes with me. I don't leave him behind. I tell people, look, if you're going to ask me to pray at this public event, I always end in the name of Jesus. I'm not skipping that because Jesus comes with me. I'm not leaving him home. If you don't want me to pray and end in the name of Jesus, then don't invite me because I'm not coming. The context, the background for chapter 2 is the fact that the world thinks that the things that we say are foolish. The Greeks, to the Greeks, the preaching of the cross was foolishness. To the Jews, it was a stumbling block. It was an offense. But Paul says, I will only glory and preach the cross of Christ. I am not going to change because they think that it's old-fashioned or they think that it's no longer relevant. Then he says this in chapter 2, verse 6. We, however, do speak a message of wisdom. We do have a message of wisdom. He says, we're not wordsmiths. It's not our words that are going to convince people. It's the power of the cross. It's the power of the gospel. I'm not going to change my message because I'm going to put some kind of relevancy on it. He says, I'm just going to preach the same message I've always preached because I am only going to glory in the gospel and glory in the cross of Jesus Christ. But he says that is a type of wisdom. Look at what he says. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age who are going to come to nothing. You know, guess where their wisdom is going to take them? Nowhere. In fact, it's going to take them away from God. That's Romans chapter 1. A wisdom that has been hidden and that God has destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, it is written, no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, no mind has conceived, what God has prepared for those who love him. What do we most hear that applied to? No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no has not entered into the heart of man what God has prepared. What do we most hear that applied to? Heaven. Exactly. We hear that applied to heaven. Well, no eye has seen, no ear has heard. We can't even imagine him. By the way, the context, it's not just heaven. It is everything that God gives us. It is the things that God prepares for us on this earth. We don't have to wait till heaven to experience the things that eye has not seen and ear has not heard. We understand them because, listen to what he says, but God has revealed them by his Spirit. We understand it. We experience it. We know it now because we have what? This God, this person called the Holy Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among man knows the thoughts of man except the man's spirit within him? And the same one, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Can you read the Bible and understand the things of God if you do not have the ministry of the Holy Spirit working in your life? The Bible says you will read them and they'll be like words to you, but you won't get it. When we open the Bible, we should be saying, Spirit of God, help me understand. Convict my heart. Help me to walk in what you are saying to me. Next week is communion. You know what we're going to talk about? The ways that we push the Holy Spirit away. We quench the Holy Spirit. We grieve the Holy Spirit. We ignore the Holy Spirit. We can't say we're in communion with God if we're not in tune with His Spirit. I want to close with a few words of reality. Why is it so important for us to talk about this now? I'm going to give you a number of scriptures just in a row. They'll basically speak for themselves. Turn to Matthew 24. Matthew 24, 9 through 13, and then 23 through 25, he says this. You will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and betray and hate each other. When the times come that Jesus is referring to, and we can in some ways see those times very easily coming in our day, he says they're going to be people who fall away. This was not what they bargained for. This was not the God and Jesus that they had believed in. They're not going to handle it, and they're going to walk away. Do you have people in your family circles that are religious people that go to churches, and they look at you and they're like, we're Christians, and we don't believe what you believe. What's wrong with you people? Stop being such haters. Are they reading a different Bible than we are? Do we have it wrong? I don't think so. Do we come across hateful sometimes? Yes, we do sometimes. There's a difference between speaking the truth and speaking the truth in love. God calls us to be both truth and grace. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other, and many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. The love of how many? Most. Why? Man, I cannot believe how bad things are getting. And you're telling me that God's in control? I don't know, man. God's in control. Are you sure? Seems like things are going off the tracks. God is in control. Just because these times are in our days doesn't mean that God's not on the throne. Mordecai and Esther, for such a time as this. Nehemiah, for such a time as this. Gideon, for such a time as this. You need to wake up and say, I'm born for such a time as this. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. Verse 23. At that time, if someone says to you, look, here is Christ, or there he is, do not believe it, for false Christs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and miracles. They'll actually do things that amaze people and are miraculous. To deceive even the elect. It's going to even deceive who? The church people. If that were possible. I hope he's saying it's not. Deceive even the elect, if that were possible. See, I have told you this ahead of time. Turn over to 2 Peter chapter 2. Second Peter 2, 1 through 3. But there were also false prophets among the people, talking about the the people of Israel, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destructions on themselves. Then I want you to read these words. Many will follow their shameful ways and will bring the way of truth into disrepute. Why do we need the ministry of the Holy Spirit? Why do we need the Spirit of truth? Why do we need the Word of God that tells us and percolates into our lives? Because there's lots of deceptions that will seek to lead us astray. If you don't know the truth, you won't know what to believe. In their greed, these teachers will exploit you with stories they have made up. Their condemnation has been long overhanging them. And then one last one, Jude. But dear friends, verse 17, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, in the last times there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. These are the men who divide you. They come into churches and what do? They split the church. They split the church because people in the church don't know what is the truth and what is falsehood. They don't know enough to know that these people are not coming in as friends. They're coming in to divide the body. They will divide you. They are those who follow mere natural instincts. And here's what he says. Do not have the Spirit. Verse 20. But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in the most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Who makes the difference between the two? The Holy Spirit. Who's going to make the difference in your life? In the way you think about things? In your viewpoint of the things of the future? In your choices that you make when the hard choices come your way? Will it be Captain Crunch? Will it be some instant coffee? Or will it be because you've really mulled things over with the help of the Holy Spirit? You've really thought things through. You've let the Word of God percolate through your heart, your mind, and your soul. And you're not caught by surprise. The book of Daniel says, those who know their God will wax strong and confident. You know what that tells me? Those who don't know their God will fold. We want to be those who know our God. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your Holy Spirit. Whenever we open the Scriptures, we need to be asking Him to guide us into truth. We live in a world where one of the mantras is, tell a lie, tell a big one, tell it long enough, and people will actually believe it. Lord, we have been placed here. Jesus warned us that oftentimes we're living in and ministering in hostile environments, but we're not to worry about it because the Holy Spirit is the one who witnesses through our hearts and our lives. In our mouths. I pray, Lord, that people would not just be here on Sunday and just have a short infusion, but they would be reading the Bible on their own, that they would be relying on the Holy Spirit to speak to them and to teach them, because that's why you gave Him to us. Forgive us, Lord, for insulting the Holy Spirit, for quenching Him, for offending Him, for ignoring Him. May we be those who know our God and who do valiantly. In Jesus' name, amen.